56 in the chorus book, please. 56 in the chorus book.
Obviously, he's not here, and he had a really rough week. Things didn't really go so well for him. Basically Wednesday, it kind of started. He started getting almost hallucinating in his mind, and his legs are starting to fail him. Not starting, they pretty much have. He is unable to stand, and he's totally unable to walk. So I have to lift him out of his bed to be able just to get him up, and we set him in the wheelchair yesterday, and he was able to sit in that for about a half hour, maybe 45 minutes at the most, but he was in pain the whole time, was just kind of enduring it, knowing that he wanted to get up, he wanted to see where his legs were through all of this. So it seems like the cancer that's in his spine is at the point where it's not allowing the brain to send the message to the leg muscles that it's time to move. And because he can still move his legs, but they have no ability to lift him whatsoever or even hold him. So that's kind of where he's at. It's a very real possibility that we've seen him here for the last time. He's not able to move out of bed without my help. I basically have to carry him, so it leaves my mom unable to do any of that, and she's still taking care of him. That being said, he's not able to get out of bed to go to the bathroom even, so that burden is on her or whoever's taking care of him. And his mind has kind of started to, he goes in and out. Sometimes he remembers things, and sometimes he doesn't. There have been a few times where he didn't even know who my mom was, and but then it comes back, kind of like an Alzheimer's patient would be. So we don't really know how much longer he'll be able to stay at home. It's going to just kind of depend on how long my mom's able to care for him. Hospice nurses are coming every day, but they're only there for about an hour or so. So they bathe him and help him out, but that's about all that they can do. And the other option then is once she's unable to take care of him, he'll go to the hospice center at 17th and Chew, Lehigh Valley Hospital, and then they would take care of him there. So we want to try to prevent that as long as possible. People have been going over to visit him. He's still open to seeing you if you feel up to doing that. But I would say if you want to do that, give the house a call and just make sure that he's alert and awake, because he does sleep a lot now. He's sometimes mid-conversation, he'll just drift off to sleep. So It has progressed quickly this past week, and so that's pretty much the report that I have to give you. It's not a good one, and pray for my mom through this. I think for me, that's the hardest thing to watch is her trying to take care of him, and that's all she's known for 40 years. And as far as my dad, I'm happy for him. He's going to heaven, and I know I'm going to see him again. We're all going to see him again, and I wouldn't want to keep him here in the condition he's in. That's for sure. So, but for the ones left behind, it's very difficult, and it's kind of like my mom's already lost him, and he's still here. So it's difficult watching that. So you pray for them, and there is a card over here on the organ that is for pastor. You can write a note in there, sign your name, whatever you'd like to do, put a Bible verse in there. I'm sure he'll enjoy reading through that. That's it. Okay.
I have a word of prayer then too.
All right, let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for those who came out this morning. We thank you for this group of believers that feels it's important enough to meet together, get away from the world, come out of the world, and meet together one with another. We need that fellowship with each other. Fellowship with our coworkers just isn't the same. And so we thank you for this time. We thank you for the willingness of the people to stick around even after our services. A lot of churches I've been in, the people come and go. As soon as the pastor says amen, they're out the door. And it seems like we just stick around and have good time fellowshipping here. And I'm thankful for that. And we just pray that would continue. And we just pray that you would watch over our church right now, watch over each person here. Give us all strength in our spirits, in our minds. Help us through this difficult time. There's a major change is coming to Ray Street Baptist Church. And we all are going to go through this together. And help us to all lean on one another. We pray for our pastor that you would give him comfort in his mind and comfort his spirit. And we just pray that you would help him through whatever path you have for him, wherever it takes him. And we know that if he's called home to glory, why, we're all going to see him again. And so we thank you for that. We just pray now you bless this service this morning. We pray that you bless Matt Renzi and his message that he has to bring to us. And use the Holy Spirit to speak through him to us. And help us have a good day in the Lord. And we'll pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right. Let's take our chorus books again. And we'll sing 124. 124 in the chorus book.
Thank you.
last song today. Regardless of what circumstances we face in our lives, the focus is supposed to be on the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And there is a name above all others, 212. If you're able to stand, why don't we do so?
Yesterday, Bill Doncho stopped by the house, and he was visiting with my dad for a little while, and then we got him in the wheelchair. We brought him out to the living room, and we opened the shades, because he hadn't even seen daylight other than what comes through his window, because the window in his bedroom is higher than his bed, so he can't see out the window. So we opened the window, and he was looking out the window. The sun was shining, and I sat down at the piano. We started playing some songs and singing. And we had a really good time, and one of the songs that I think was a real comfort to him is number 529 in your hymn book. It's called Day by Day. And there's probably not a... I don't know how I'm going to sing this song, but I'm going to try. I was able to get through it yesterday. But it is a real comfort, this song. One of the things that my dad will cry out sometimes when he's feeling this pain is, help me, Lord, he'll say. That's in the last verse.
Mm-hmm. by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here, trusting in my Father's wise bestowment. I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he deems best. Lovingly, it's part of pain and pleasure. Himself is near me with a special mercy for each hour. All my cares he fain would bear and cheer me. He whose name is Counselor and Power, the protection of his child and treasure. Himself he laid. As thy days, thy strength shall be in measure, and this the pledge to me he in every tribulation, so to trust thy promises, O Lord, that I lose not faith's sweet consolation offered me within thy holy word. Help me, Lord, when toil and trouble to take as from a Father's hand. One by one, the days, the moments fleet, till I reach that promised land. Help me, Lord, when toil and trouble meeting, there to take the moments fleeting till I reach the promised land. One by one, the days, the moments fleeting till I reach the promised land.
To pick up where I left off, that's for sure, this morning. I got an idea. Can you do me a favor, brother? I hate to do this to you. Can you run to my car? Inside the thing is a Bible case with my Bible. Can you bring that little Bible for me? I have a message in the back of that Bible. I can't continue what we were talking about this morning. Lord willing, tonight I'll pick up where we're going to go. But I know where I'm going tonight or this morning. Would you turn to Psalm 23, please? we're talking in Sunday school about something different, but the atmosphere is different. Amen. And I just sense the Lord leading in this direction. This is a wonderful, wonderful psalm, Psalm 23. Brother Jason mentioned that, you know, last week may have been his father's last day here in church. And so it doesn't look good from a human perspective. But thank God we don't just see things from a human perspective. Amen? Thank you, brother. I appreciate that, yeah. This is the Soul Winning Bible, and this one has my name on it, so don't try to steal it, amen? And in the back of this, I have a message that I preach in times like this, where we're just, you know, going through some struggles. Psalm 23 is one of the just a great psalms. It's a great psalm of comfort, amen? And now, I may have preached this here. I may have. I'm not sure. But this is the only message I hope you forgot. Amen. So I could preach it again. And we'll just do it a little different. Like I said, I was going to continue this morning Sunday school. But we're going to look at Psalm 23. And just want to share some thoughts this morning. Mainly, I want to focus a little bit on heaven. Amen. And Brother Jason mentioned, and you know, he's more tougher to see his mom go through what she's going through at this time, you know. And let's read together, or I'll read it if you would just look at it. And I want to just kind of just give you some thoughts from Psalm 23. This is a great psalm about the Lord being our shepherd, you know. And it was a shepherd that wrote about the shepherd. Amen. David was a shepherd himself. So he knew what a shepherd was like. By the way, whenever you read Psalm 23, if you have the opportunity, try to read John 10 with it, because John 10 talks about Jesus being that good shepherd. Amen. In fact, in many see a trilogy in 22, 23, 24, because 22, you have, you know, the shepherd dying, and 23, the shepherd living, and then 24, the shepherd coming, the good shepherd, the great shepherd. Amen. And well, I'm going to look at Psalm 23. The Bible says this: the Lord is my shepherd. Now, if we were like David and we were shepherds, we would probably appreciate that statement a whole lot more. Amen. He knew what it was to be a shepherd, and he knew what it was to love and care for his sheep. Amen. And David is saying, hey, the Lord is my shepherd. And by the way, if you're saved, you can say this too. Amen. I know that there are some religions that do not believe you can know that you're one of God's children here and now. They actually believe it's a sin of presumption, but the Bible doesn't teach that at all. Amen. Thank God we can know that we are today saved, children of God. Amen. In 1 John chapter 3, verse number 2, it says, beloved, now are we the sons of God. Amen. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Amen. And that's a wonderful, wonderful truth. I'm so glad that on this side of eternity, we can know for sure that when we step into eternity, we're going to be with the Lord. Amen. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Well, I feel bad and I feel sorry for those that are at death's door, but do not know the door. Amen. Do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. You know, I want to be able, and I am able, thank God, to be like Paul the Apostle, who in 1 Timothy chapter 2, actually was it 1 Timothy chapter 1 or 2 Timothy chapter, I think 2 Timothy, I'm sorry, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 12. In fact, in 2 Timothy, which is his last book that he wrote, he knew that his life was coming to an end. They call 2 Timothy Paul's swan song. But what he says in 2 Timothy 1, 12 is, for I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Paul the Apostle, the day that he got saved, he committed not only his soul, but his life to the Lord. Amen. And at the end of his life, if you will, technically on death row, he was confident, I know that he is able to keep me. Amen. And he is, and he will. Amen. And but anyway, the Lord is my shepherd. And by the way, if you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you understand you're a sinner, but you believe that God loved you, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. If you're trusting Jesus and Jesus alone as your personal Savior, you are one of his sheep. Amen. And you can confidently say, like David said, the Lord is my shepherd. What we see in verse number one is what I call the relation of God's people. We are related to the Lord. Amen. He is our God. Yea, he is our Father. As that song, My Father Planned It All. Sometimes I'll be honest with you, I don't like that song. I actually changed the word in my mind, and I don't care who knows about it. I'm serious. I say my Father's over all. That's what I say. Because there are some things I don't think God planned. I think things happen that God necessarily planned, but he's over all. Amen. No doubt about it. But the fact of the matter is, if you're saved, he's your daddy and you're his son. You're his child. Amen. He came unto his own, John chapter number one, and his own received him not. But to them that received him, to them gave he the power or the authority to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Amen. When you and I get saved, God becomes our Father. We become his children. A relationship is started, by the way, that will never end. God the Father will never disown any of his children. His children sometimes can be bad, no doubt about it. Like the prodigal son, they can wander away and get into all kinds of stuff, but he's still the Father. And when they repent and come back to their Father, he restores them the fellowship, not the salvation, because they're already saved. Amen. Restores them the fellowship. The Lord is my shepherd. That is the relation of God's people. But in verse 1a all the way down to 5 is what I call the provision of God's people. Because we are related to the Lord, we have the provisions of the Lord. Amen. And what are the provisions? By the way, he says this in verse number 1, I shall not want. And that word want means lack. Because the Lord is my shepherd, because God is my Father, I will not lack. What does that mean? He provides everything that I need. All that I need, his hand hath provided. Amen. Great is his faithfulness. What are the provisions of the Lord as we go through this life? Verse number 2 begins, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. By the way, he'll always lead you to the right places if you follow. Amen. He'll always lead you to green pastures, to good places of eating and feasting, pleasant places, if you will. He leadeth me. Thank God for the leading of our Father, of our God, of our shepherd. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Sheep don't drink from fast moving waters. They have to be by still waters in order to partake of that. And our shepherd leads us always in the right places. Sometimes the problem is we don't follow, amen? But he always leads in the right places. Verse number 4 says this. I'm sorry, verse number 3. He restoreth my soul. You know, on a daily basis, the Lord renews us and refreshes us and restores us. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. In fact, in Sunday school, we were talking about that. Living righteous, if you will, for his name's sake. Our shepherd will always go before us, amen? And he'll always lead us in the right place. If we'll but follow him, we'll always get to the right place. Amen. No doubt about that. Verse number 4, he says this, yea, and by the way, through this life, we go through dark valleys, but he provides in that valley. And here's what it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. The shadow of death. What is that? Anytime you get next to a shadow of something, you're getting next to that something. The Bible speaks in Psalm 91, verse number 1, about he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. When you get close to the Lord, you got to get close to his shadow. Amen. And in this life, if the Lord doesn't come back, we'll go the way of all the flesh, of all earth, if you will. Amen. And we'll get close to death. And there's a shadow that comes with death. In verse number 4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. No evil. We don't have to be afraid, though there's natural fear, no doubt about it. And I think of what the psalmist said, and I believe it was David himself. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Amen. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. And I love the fact that he is with us all the way. I will never, Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Amen. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. He says there, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The rod and the staff of the shepherd were instruments that were used for the protection and for the safety of the sheep. The staff sometimes would be used to be able to get the sheep out of trouble and get it back to the shepherd. The staff, the rod would often be used to drive off the wolves or the other animals that were trying to get to the sheep. David's saying, when I see in the hands of my shepherd a rod and staff, I know that he's protecting me and he's taking care of me and nothing's going to harm me. Amen. I go through the valley of the shadow, thou fear no evil, thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Verse number 5, thou preparest a table before me. And notice what the next thing says, in the presence of mine enemies. You know, sometimes there's more that meets the eye. In the custom of the day, when you went to an individual's house or tent, and they greeted you and they received you, to them, in their hospitality, they would give their life for your safety. When they prepared a table for you, you were their guest and they pledged your protection and your watch care while you were under their care. And David said, he prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. He will take care of me. Amen. He protects me. And then notice this thing here. Thou anointest my head with oil. I mentioned this, I think I was talking to one of the brothers a couple weeks ago about that thou anointest my head with oil. Some commentators believe this statement to mean, now up in this area, you see it more than we would see it where I'm from. In the city, we don't see this, but different farms, you see the animals, the horses and the cows, and many times you see the flies and everything all over them. How many people can picture that in their mind? And what do they do all day long, these animals? The horses are flipping their tails and they're constantly shaking their heads and their ears. And what are they doing? They're agitated and they're aggravated by these little insects that are constantly bothering their head. Many believe that this reference is they would often put oil on the head of the sheep so that these insects and these little things wouldn't be so bothersome to them. And with that in mind, many people believe that it's saying here, God cares about the little things that bother us. And he does what he can to comfort us. Amen? And that's a wonderful, wonderful truth. And then he says, by way of God's provisions for me in and through this life, my cup runneth over. Amen? God's provisions for us fill our cup, amen. In fact, they don't just fill them up, they run them over. I often say this, that the filling of the cup has to do with for me. But when my cup runs over, I become a blessing to other people as well, amen. I want you to see the last, by the way, the last verse, he says in verse number 6, in reference to going through this life, he says this, surely, by the way, you can count on it, you can bank on it. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Amen. You and I that are saved, we have a relation to God. We have provisions from God. His goodness and his mercy will follow you and I that are saved all the days of our life while we're here. Amen. But then it ends with this, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. That's the destination of God's people. See, the relation of God's people is he's my shepherd. The provision of God's people is through this life, he provides all that I need. But at the end of this life, my destination is his house. Amen. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. I want to give you just a couple thoughts about heaven. Just try to get our minds a little bit on heaven. Let me just say this. Number one, heaven is a real place. Heaven is a real place. Amen. Just like New Jersey is a real place. Amen. Yeah, some of you are saying Jersey. Oh. It's a real place, by the way. It's a real place. You say, brother, how do you know it's a real place? Well, it's a real place because Jesus said it was. He taught the disciples, hey, when you pray, remember our Father, which art in heaven. Amen. Heaven's a real place. In fact, in John chapter number 17, verse number 1, we talked about the Lord's Prayer last week. John 17, 1, Jesus lifted up his eyes unto heaven and prayed. In fact, in John 14, verses 1 to 3, when Jesus knew he was leaving this earth and he wanted to comfort his disciples, he said, listen, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He was comforting his disciples. We're going to get up again. We're going to meet again. Amen. Heaven is a real place. But let me give you another thought too. Heaven is a restricted place. And by the way, this is what makes it wonderful. Would you look at Revelation for a moment, chapter number 21? Heaven's a real place. Heaven is a real place. Revelation, if you would, please, chapter number 21. In fact, I have loved ones that are already there. And I have many Christian brothers and sisters in Christ that I know that are already there. Amen. Revelation chapter number 21. I want you to look with me for a moment, if you would. Heaven's a real place. It's not a fictitious place. It's not a place of our imagination. By the way, somebody said, well, whoever been there and came back to tell us? Paul the Apostle. Amen. Third abode. In fact, he said, you know what? I can't, words don't describe. Like, I can't even communicate it. It's like trying to tell color to somebody who's born blind. Just hard to explain it. But anyway, here's what it says. Not only is heaven a real place, here, heaven is a restricted place. It's a restricted place. By the way, this is what makes it wonderful. Look at Revelation 21. Look at verse number 4 and 5. Watch this. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Watch this now. And there shall be no more death. Death is restricted in heaven. Amen. Neither sorrow, no more sorrow in heaven, nor crying, and neither shall there be any more pain, no more pain in heaven, for the former things are passed away. Verse number 5. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Man, what is he saying? This is no game. This is not a lie. This is the truth. It's true and faithful. You can count on it. You see, to you and I who, to thus, that's such a wonderful place. It almost is like, is it real? And he says, better write. It's true and faithful. You better count on it. It's real. It's real. I know it's real. Amen. Look at verse number 27, if you would, please. Just the first part of it. Revelation 21, 27. And there shall in no wise enter into it, get to anything that defileth. Heaven is a restricted place. Everything that's hurtful and harmful is not there. Amen. It's a real place. It's a restricted place. By the way, because it's a restricted place, we're at Revelation. Look at verse number chapter 14, if you would. Revelation chapter 14. Because there's no more pain and sorrow and agony and everything that we feel in this life. That makes it this next thought. Heaven is a resting place. It's a resting place. Oh boy, rest here is only temporary. You know that, right? When it's going good, we always say, okay, won't be long, right? Look at Revelation 14, 13, if you would, please. Notice what the Bible says. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. If you're saved, you're in the Lord, by the way. Blessed are they that die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may what? Rest. from their labors and their works do follow them. Heaven is a resting place. And might I say this? It's not a resting place because of a lack of activity. It's a resting place because of a lack of anxiety. Amen. No more sorrow there. We're going to see the King. No more worry there. We're going to see the King. Amen. Heaven is a real place. Heaven is a restricted place. Heaven is a resting place. Whew. Heaven is a rejoicing place. Psalm 16:11, in thy presence is the fullness of joy. And at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Amen? Heaven is a rejoicing place. In fact, let me say this. Heaven is such a wonderful place. In fact, that sounds like a song, doesn't it? Heaven is a wonderful place, filled with glory and grace. I long to see my Savior's face. Heaven is a wonder. Heaven is so wonderful, and somebody that was there thought it was so wonderful, they said to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord, but they went on to say that I am willing, rather, to be with the Lord. We won't read it for the sake of time, but I'll be honest with you, brothers and sisters. Yeah, we will read it. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians. I want you to see this. 2 Corinthians. Heaven is a rejoicing place. It's a wonderful place. Amen. Look at 2 Corinthians, if you would, please. And I want you to look with me for a moment. I'm going to read verse, beginning chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's begin in verse number 1. By the way, Paul in chapter 4 talked about ministering and serving the Lord. And by the way, his ministering and serving the Lord meant you could be dead, you could be stoned to death, and, you know, all that other stuff, right? Shipwrecked. And so you're talking danger. You're talking death all the time, right? Here's what he says, verse number 1 of chapter 5. For we know, there's the blessed hope, right? We know. We don't guess. We don't hope. We know. For we know that if our earthly house, he's talking about his body, of this tabernacle or tent were dissolved, we have a building of God. By the way, the body's a tent. It's temporary. What we're going to have up there is a building. It's permanent. Amen. He goes on to say, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle will dissolve, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Now look at verse 2. For in this we groan. You know what he's talking about, right? The earthly body. Now his body was a lot different than my body and most of our bodies. I mean, this man has been through it, if you will. So he was hurting. Remember that thorn in the flesh? He prayed for God to take away. He's hurting. And what he's saying is, in this body, we groan. Now watch the statement. Earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. You know, there comes a time when your body gets to a place where you can't wait to get rid of it. You earnestly desire that new body. Amen? And that's what he says. Verse number 3, if so be that being clothed, we should not be found naked. Verse 4, for we that are in this tent or in this tabernacle do groan, watch this, being burdened. Amen? Being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up with life. What he's saying was, I'm not desiring to die, I'm desiring a new body. This one here is burdensome. I groan in it. I'm not hoping to die soon, but I am hoping for a new body. Verse 5. Now he that hath wrought us the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given us the earnest of the Spirit. By the way, who's going to give us this new body? The same one that gave us the Holy Spirit. As an earnest, a down payment, a guarantee, you're getting a new body. Amen? Verse number 6. Therefore we are always what? Confident. Always confidence. Verse number 6. Knowing that while we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. He said, we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, verse 8. And what? Willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. You know what Paul's saying? Paul's saying, I'm not just confident that I'm going to have a new body. In fact, I'm willing to do that. I'd rather do that. Why? Well, let me put it this way. Look at Philippians chapter 1. We'll see why. By the way, you're talking about somebody who's been there. Amen. You're talking about somebody who's been there. Philippians chapter number 1. I want you to note this. Boy, Paul said, I'm willing, rather, to be with the Lord. Philippians chapter number 1. In prison, Paul does not know what's going to happen, whether he's going to die or not. And he says that here. But here's what he says. Look at verse number 21. For me, he said, to live is what? Christ. If I'm going to live, I'm going to live for Christ. But watch this. And to die is gain. He knew the gain that he would get because he was already there. Look at verse 23. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is what? Far better. Far better. There are times in this life when God allows people to go through situations in their physical body, and those situations create more of a desire to be with the Lord and to get out of this craziness. Amen? I think of the children of Israel. When they were captive in the land of Egypt, they were enslaved. You remember that? They were being, you know, made to work, and they were slaves. And let me, what happened when the opportunity for them to get out of Egypt arose? They were out. Why? Because the conditions were terrible and they wanted to get out. Amen? But what happened when they were taken by Babylon and most of them got settled down, comfortable, prosperous, and God said, go ahead back and build the temple. Only 50,000 about went back. Most of them got so, it was so nice and so comfortable, they didn't want to go to the promised land where the Lord wanted them to go. Amen? Heaven is a real place. Thank God. Thank God. It's a resting place, a restricted place. All the bad is kept out of it. Amen? Therefore, it's a resting place. And it's so wonderful. It's a rejoicing place. But then let me give you this last thought. And turn with me to one more portion of Scripture and we'll close up. Not only is heaven a real place, turn to 1 Peter. I didn't even tell you I'm turning to 1 Peter chapter number 1, please. 1 Peter chapter number 1. Heaven is a real place, thank God. I don't doubt that most of us have loved ones that are there, amen? And thank God, amen? It's real. It's real. Heaven's a restricted place. It's a reserve. It's a resting place, a rejoicing place. But finally, I will say this. In 1 Peter chapter 1, would you look with me just for a moment? And we're going to look at verse 3 and 4. And let me just say this. Heaven is a reserved place. It's a reserved place. Amen? So what does that mean? You have to, I don't mean to be disrespectful in any way, but you have to make the reservations now. You know what I mean? I would not, you know, go take, just in this life, I wouldn't even just go making a trip and say, well, we'll figure out where we're going to stay when we get there. Amen? Heaven is a place where you reserve here and now. You got to make your reservations. Now, I want you to look with me, if you would. First Peter chapter 1, look at verse 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again. That's born again right there. That's the term born again, right? By his mercy. But we're born unto what? A lively hope. We're born unto a living hope. Amen? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Hallelujah. Because Jesus rose from the dead, we have a living hope. Amen. If your Savior's dead, what kind of hope you have? I feel bad for these people. I don't feel bad, but these people that are trusting in these, you know, Muhammad and these other people that are dead and in the grave and have no life at all. You and I, we have a Savior that's alive. Amen. We have a living hope. Look at verse number 4. We're saved, if you will, to an inheritance. Incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away. What's the last statement? Reserved in heaven for you. He's speaking to those that are saved, those that are born again by the mercy of God. If you're saved, you have a reservation already. Thank God for it. Amen. If you're not saved, let me tell you something. You could trust the Lord as your Savior. Amen. Believe that he died on the cross for you. God sent him to this earth to die on that cross, to take all our sin upon himself as a sacrifice. Amen. And when Jesus on the cross, the last statements he said was, it is finished. That means he paid in full our sin debt. Amen. He paid our sin debt in full. And what I do is I trust and I believe him. I believe God's word that he died for me. He took my place and I accepted him. Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, I believe the truth of your word. You love me, died for me, paid for my sin. Come into my heart and be my Savior. And boy, the day that you accept Christ as your Savior, you have your name is written in the heaven in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. And it'll never be erased. You already have your reservation. Once your name's in, you're in. Amen. Thank God. Amen. And so may these thoughts today comfort our hearts about our loved ones who are going on before, first and foremost. And then assure our hearts about ourselves. You know, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the Thessalonians were concerned about their loved ones. They were waiting for the Lord to come back. And they were questioning about the loved ones that were going, passing away before the Lord came back. And Paul had to write in 1 Thessalonians 4, 13-18. He said, listen, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, about them which are asleep, those who have gone on. He said, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Their bodies shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, in the air, to be with the Lord, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Your loved ones' bodies will be in the graves. They will be up there, but their bodies are going to rise at his return. And we're going to go, if we're alive, we're going to meet together with our loved ones, together with our Savior forever. Amen. What a blessed hope. Amen. Let's ask the Lord's blessing as we close up. Father, thank you for your precious word today. Lord, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Our words mean nothing. Your word means everything. Our promises, oh, promises from human beings, oh, earthly friends will prove untrue, doubts and fears assail, but there's one in heaven who cares for us and one who will not fail. We thank and praise you for the truths of your precious word. We are comforted concerning our loved ones who have gone on before, who will go on before, and we're assured about our own selves because of the wonderful words of life from this precious book. Father, if there's anybody in this gathering that is not sure that they're saved and they'd like to talk to somebody, Lord, we would love to talk to them about being saved. May they just see me and we'll speak to them or connect them with somebody to speak to them. May they understand at any time they can do that. And I pray that the comfort of your people, Lord, from your word would be the result of our gathering today. We pray for the pastor. We pray for the preacher. We pray, dear Lord, that you'll give them grace and comfort. And we know you are. We know you are. We pray you'll comfort his wife, Lord. Please give her the strength, Lord, as she goes through what she's going through. We pray for Jason and his family, the rest of his family, Lord, in this church. We're praying for your safety, for your watch care. This is your church, Lord. These are your people. And we're praying for your provisions and protections, your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day. Amen.